Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine podcast. I'm your co-host and announcer, or something, Jason Snell. And with you, as always, you know him, the Johnny Carson of this podcast. Heyo, here's Sir Tim Goodman. Hi, Tim.
Wow.
That was halfway to being Ed McMahon there. Halfway.
Yeah, that was close. That was a McMahon sighting.
Ah, yes.
Oh. Oh, you are the one, sir.
Something like that. Yes, oh, great one.
So you are the our something. That's good.
Or
yeah.
Something, yeah. Something like that.
Co-host, I don't know what I am. Producer, I am, or the, something.
I am the, yes, I am the person who is here talking to you as you bestow on us your knowledge of television. That's,
you are what we need you to be.
I'm the audience's proxy. And the guy who posts the podcast.
Yes. Yeah, you're the one who does all the work.
You host
you
it.
Are.
You host it. I post it.
Oh, I like it. I host it. You post it. Let's, we could trademark that.
That could be a t-shirt.
Absolutely. I could sell
$40 a shirt. Yep.
You know that even rock bands don't sell shirts for $40 these days.
Well, these days, I'm not so sure. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe they do.
That's how podcasts fund themselves now. It's entirely t-shirt based economy.
I know. It's a yeah, as it should be. I love t-shirts. It's got to be the soft ones, though.
So how was your Thanksgiving? We did an episode on Thanksgiving, but you know, pro tip, secret behind the scenes news. We recorded it in advance.
Oh, you know, you just peeled the curtain away,
well,
and the magic goes.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's just
we rely on magic.
Our listeners like to know how things work.
They do. They want the inside business.
Yeah, that's right.
The knowledge.
Yeah, it's helpful. Yeah. It's good for them. It's good for
us.
Yeah,
it's helpful.
Good for them.
You told them that we recorded a double one and we lied to them. That's helpful. That works. Yeah.
We'll never lie to you again.
Oh, yes, we will.
Also a lie. So how was your holiday? Good?
It was very good. I'm still digesting it.
Yeah.
What is this? Is like a 2 weeks later? I'm bloated. I'm still like bloated.
It's
and it's holiday
later.
Season. It's a week later.
I know.
You know what? It feels like 2 weeks because I've been doing so much television lately. Insane.
There's a lot of television. So last night, as we record this, there was a 3-hour program.
Yes, there was.
Three hours. Oh my God, 3 hours.
I was not even joking when I found out that Peter Pan Live was 3 hours. My original thought was, okay, an hour. I can do an hour of Allison Williams singing, dancing, do a little bit of Christopher Walken as Hook. Yeah, I'm out. This is an assignment that they wanted me to do that I could take and say, yeah, no problem. And then I was like, 3 hours? What? Who the hell watches TV for 3 hours straight?
I know, gather the kids around and they'll be up until 11. Okay.
Yeah, that's for the West Coast. By the way, the West Coast, it's not even live on the West Coast because we get screwed for everything.
No, I was thinking they should do something like put it on some auxiliary channel or on the web or something so you could actually watch it live on the West Coast. But no, just watch it on tape and still stay up till 11.
Yeah, luckily I did not do that. I did Sling Box.
somebody hooked you up. You were watching from the East Coast. Very smart, very clever.
You know what, if Sling Box was really thinking about advertising potential, they could be part of this
they could be right
podcast.
Here.
They could have been here right here when I said, "Yes, I used Sling Box for Peter Pan Live."
This edition of the TV Talk Machine podcast could have been brought to you by Slingbox, an amazing product that I'm not going to tell you about because they didn't pay us.
Nice. You actually do have that kind of radio pitchman voice.
It's like, yeah, kick it into the ad read there, except there's no ad, so there's no read. Sorry.
Kick it into the ad read.
Ad
man.
Read. Yeah, oh yeah.
You just...
I'm a professional podcaster now.
You
too.
Really
I'm,
are. You
I have
are.
A fancy microphone and everything. So.
Now I got my fancy microphone too.
Yeah.
I love my fancy blue microphone.
Look at you.
Sweet.
Pretty good.
We were talking about
Peter Pan.
Oh, actually, you know what? it was fine. It was a little harder to live tweet it, which I had a lot of fun doing. To live tweet it and then take notes simultaneously, and then in the last 45 minutes start piecing together a column, a review. Sorry, and that as soon as it ended, I had to bang the review out because. Yeah, I love it that we were having some kind of computer reset thing that was kicking in at 8:20, and they were like 8:20 or 8:30. They had to push it, and I was like, "Yeah, they're like pretty much we won't even be like the servers are going to be down or whatever if you don't get it in before then." So
they're
I finished
like,
it.
They're like rebooting the Hollywood Reporter.
Something, right?
Wonderful.
Yeah, Yeah. All they had to say was booty, and I was involved. But then it was booting, and I was
There's some pirates booty lines in Peter Pan. I noticed that with Christopher Walken.
There was a pirates booty line in there.
Yeah, which any parent knows of that as one of the most horrifying snack foods made for children. Pirates booty, that is bad stuff.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's like good? Puffed rice or something with, I don't even know. It's like pork rinds for children. It's
cheese on it. Maybe?
They're horrific. I don't even know what's in them. They're made of cardboard. It's not. Wow. I don't recommend it.
I guess they're not going to be a sponsor.
No, sorry. The TV Talk Machine. Let me tell you about pirate booty. Don't eat it. I'm not a huge musical theater fan. I don't mind musical theater, but maybe it's Peter Pan because I hated Hook, the Steven Spielberg movie. Maybe I just don't like the Peter Pan thing. I don't know. It was boring and it was so slow, and I feel like the camera movements and stuff, and the different shots actually made it feel more boring. Like if I'm in the theater, like on Broadway or something, I'm kind of like looking around and I'm seeing what all is going on, and it seems even like less static. But those like the opening scenes, and it's like let's do a song before the mom even leaves. I'm like, oh my god, how long is this? Turns out 3 hours long. Three is hours. How long that is. It wasn't. I didn't think it was bad. I kind of want to blame myself and say it's just not my thing, because I thought Allison Williams was great. I thought Christopher Walken was really amusing and being Christopher Walken, and that's never wrong.
Never wrong.
I thought it was competently done all the way through. Mm-hmm. I just got bored really fast.
Yeah, musical theater is not my thing. This was an assignment that they really wanted me to do, so I was like, okay. What's the story here? What's the story here behind Peter Pan? I mean, I was only a lot of the tweets I was putting out, I was playing up the fact that, the whole like, oh my God, there's so much singing. That's how I felt when I watched it. Like, oh, for Christ's
sake.
Another song. Really? But like, that's musical theater, and I'm not a musical theater person. I don't like that kind of stuff. And it was tough for me to watch. But as somebody, on the other hand, as somebody who was thrown into this and was thinking it was going to be awful, I thought, wow, good for Allison Williams, because that is a really ballsy thing to do. It's really risky. And she knew, she had those pre-interviews where she was like, oh, you shouldn't hate watch on this. You should watch this as a 10-year-old might watch it or whatever. Live in the fantasy world that is Neverland, et cetera. But you know what? She nailed it. I thought she was really good. She proved that she can sing. She can prove that she can float around on wires and sing at the same time. She was generating a lot more energy than people maybe gave her credit for, and singing at the same time, which we know is not easy. And then I thought she was way better than expected.
Yeah.
And I think that she, as I said in my review, she competently beat back the tide of the internet, which is not easy to do. And you're almost at a loss going in. So she was kind of the upset winner, which is great. And then Christopher Walken being Christopher Walken doing Hook, and clearly, I think, forgetting his lines numerous times.
Doesn't matter. Just walking.
Exactly. He was walkenizing it. And I was thinking as I watched it, I was like, I love this guy. Because instead of panicking, he's going to say, you know what? Whatever. I forgot 2, 3, 4 lines. I'm just going to smirk, and I'm going to kind of smile, and I'm going to laugh and look at the other people and make them feel all super panicky and sweaty. But I forgot my lines, dude. The show goes on.
No, but he's not going to lose future work because he forgot a line in there. I was thinking about like the kid actors and thinking, man, one of these kids could just turn to the camera and say, hi, NPC, right? And they would never, that would be at the end of their
never work again.
Burgeoning acting career. And they go
Although
on to
they
leave
probably
a
would be
healthy
NPC
life.
Sitcom.
Yeah, it's possible. But for Walken, it's like, what does he care? What does he care? And I thought it was, again, I thought it was all well done. Although this goes back to the fact that traditionally they always cast, they cast women in the Peter Pan part. Because they want it to be somebody who's, he's supposed to be eternally a boy. So they cast a woman in the part. And I had a problem with that with Allison Williams just because I find her extremely attractive. And I don't really want to be attracted to Peter Pan. That kind of undercuts the whole, this is the boy who never grew up, when it's like, that's the really attractive one from Girls. So, yeah.
I had
a problem with that.
See, I don't know. I've always kind of, somebody has pointed this out to me as well, and I kind of, she's kind of mannish to me.
No, oh no, Well, yeah. maybe you and the casting director for Peter Pan Live are in agreement
about
this.
Yeah, we were on the same. We're like, hey, she's kind of mannish.
But regardless, she was good. I thought there were a lot of fake English accents in this too, and I thought they were competently. There were some real ones too, but I thought they were competently done. It didn't feel like the high school production of fake English accent theater that sometimes you get in an American production. I thought that was.
I would totally watch fake British
English accent theater. Yeah,
no question.
That would be a good bit.
Her accent was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
like I was. Look, she pulled off a lot of stuff that was beyond what I was certainly expecting from her. And I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny that they always have the Peter is always a sort of a gammon, sort of a life young woman.
Yep.
And but then that made that more fun when Wendy was having the lesbian subtext of. The grown-up Wendy going with the grown-up Peter, who's actually not Peter, who's actually Allison. Yeah, it made the tweeting fun.
And Gammon, by the way, very good. Good
Gammon,
word.
Yeah.
You are a professional writer, sir.
That, and I know all kinds of pixie-eyed women who are in pixie cuts and pixie builds pixie dream girl.
Yeah, sure. No, she did a good job, and it's made for an American audience, so I would say the English accents didn't seem fake to American TV audience, which is all you're really going for. I'm sure the Brits are like, oh no, this is terrible. There's
sure
a fake accent right there. But for us, it was like, yeah, okay, sure, England, whatever.
Yeah, as we say to that, because if we don't want to get huffy with them, we can always get huffy with them. We can get cheeky with them. Yeah, we could turn them into the 51st state. Let's not kid ourselves about it.
I think they'd enjoy it.
Probably would at this point. Just get me out of the EU.
We've ruined their country anyway. I mean, they do Halloween now, and I mean, we've ruined them. So we'll take Scotland, England, and Wales, and Northern Ireland as like they can all be their own states. How about that? So
they would probably like that too.
51st through 54th states.
Well, look, I mean, if accent-wise, we could just say to the Brits, hey, okay, look, we botched it doing this production that you hated, but you also have David Tennant and Grace Point.
Yeah.
Right? That's not an American accent.
Burn.
That's nonsense.
He's like from
Sick
off
burn,
the coast
man.
Of New Jersey.
He's not even remotely near New Jersey. He's got nothing in it. He's monotone. He's water.
It's weird.
I know, but it's almost over. That thing's almost over.
Anything more? Any other thoughts about Peter Pan Live?
I survived it, but just barely.
Do we know how the ratings are? I assume they're just going to keep doing this until...
The ratings were not good.
Oh, interesting.
The ratings were roughly half of what they were for Sound of Music.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They also started off very strong. It actually started for its own thing. I think there's a lot of elements that go into it. One, Sound of Music Live was... unexpectedly the live show, and now we've expected. Now we're used to it. People, it was like more of a novelty then. It's still a novelty, but more then. So you had more of a curiosity tune-in factor. And I think that the story and the songs are a little bit better known in Sound of Music than they are, especially the songs are better known there than they are in Peter Pan. And the Peter Pan story is not as good. So I think there's that element that played into it. It did pretty well at the at the first three quarters of it, and then it really tanked the last half hour to 45 minutes.
Everybody was asleep.
It dropped a lot of audience. So
I have to admit, I watching it, it made me want to go back and watch those live episodes of 30 Rock again.
Those were great.
Right? Those were great.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, as I said before, I started tweeting that... I said, dear headline writers, Peter panned with an exclamation point and said, there you go. It's out of the way. It's taken. Now move on. But now when the ratings tanked at the end, you get to see that it petered out.
Oh,
see.
But yes. Nothing bad there for Allison Williams, though. She was great.
She's the winner. Walken becomes more of a legend.
Indeed.
I annoyed a lot of people on Twitter, but actually, it was not my fault. It was made, we had to do that feed, and then they were resending my Twitter feed exclusively on THR feed.
Oh, my.
But you know what? These things always surprise me. More people loved it than not. I got a shit ton of new followers, and people seemed to love it. Their feedback was really tremendous. So I would definitely do that again. I had fun doing it. I felt like a good night of like making fun and kind of being in. And in some ways, I will say, in some ways, an event like that really kind of triggers the whole reason that television is sort of our shared cultural experience, right? I mean, that might not be the most cultural thing that we saw on television this year, but it was fun. People tuned into it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that people on Twitter who will really know how to engage in things, they had a blast. It was fun.
I love the common bond of live stuff happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is actually what bugs me when they tape delay something for the West Coast, is I love like sports tweeting, and I know not everybody out there who listens to this loves sports, but I mean, one of the great things about sports or the Oscars or anything like that is like, then it's that common water cooler kind of thing happening where, you know, the live TV and Twitter is a great combination. It really is.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And we kind of lose that out here, but you know what? If they were to put it on at 5 o'clock, the ratings would have been much, much worse.
Well, they would have had to do the cable thing, and which on cable you could have done, which is show it again at 8. But you know, on network affiliates, they want to show their local news and all of that, and it's just, you know, whatever. They could have put it on cable or something. But oh well, it's fine.
Exactly,
it's fine. You know, I still think there's a great app to be made that plays back, like takes a hashtag of a TV show or something, and lets you set a time delay. So that you can watch those tweets come by like 3 hours later while you're watching it, and you're like, it's like TiVo for Twitter.
I like that. Is that possible?
I think you could do it. I think you could. It would have some issues, and I don't know how many people would use it, but I would love something like that where I could like sync up something that I recorded or that was on a tape delay and see what the people in my feed said when it was happening. That
oh,
would be
dear.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I would live tweet the shit out of everything then. I would be like constant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good times.
Should we go to some, we got a bunch of really great listener topics.
Yeah. I can't actually take another second of
Peter Pan life.
Yeah. So,
well, I have bad news for you, Tim, because this is now my moment to sing. No, I don't have a song. TV Talk Machine.
I know that was a legendary song. But yeah. Don't go back, people. Don't go back and
don't listen to the old podcasts.
Yeah, it's the siren song.
Okay, I got a letter. We got an email from Erling, and he's in the 0484, which Ooh. Is his postcode in Norway because they don't have area codes in Norway.
Ah, nice, Erling. Way to nail it. Yeah. That's sweet. 0408, something like that.
0484.
In the zero... You know what? He's living large in the 0484.
Yep. .no. That's right.
Yeah. .no. Yeah.
So he said, I enjoyed your discussion on episode 11 about favorite fantasy sci-fi hero shows. And he says, very much in the Snell camp of Buffy and Doctor Who. So yay. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
big in Norway.
There's a Snell camp. Yeah. I'm big in Norway. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he said, I was missing a mention of Dominion and wonder what you think of it. To me, it feels like a great mix of Buffy and Battlestar Galactica. In other words, post-apocalyptic religio-political fantasy. Is that a subgenre? It's a way subgenre. That is very specific. Dominion may be the only show in it. Tim, have you seen Dominion?
Dominion is a Canadian series. I actually saw parts of that when I was up there in
Vancouver.
Vancouver. Yes, which I missed dearly, by the way. So yeah, I actually was able to sort of binge on it. And this is true of a lot of things, but, you know, I said at the time that like, I wish I had seen more of that show, like from the beginning. Hmm. So it's interesting.
I guess it's a
Africa. No, I know. I'm wrong.
Did you get it wrong?
I am. I'm in my brain.
Are you confused with a continuum?
Continuum I wanted more of. Dominion I didn't.
All right.
However.
So do you know Dominion? So it turns out Dominion is a South African co-production of sci-fi shot in South Africa.
Oh, my God.
With angels and stuff. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. So let me...
Is this like Da Vinci's Demons? Is it similar
to
that?
Well, it's similar.
Subgenre.
Sure.
Subgenre.
It's similar. And here's the problem. This is so bad. This is such inside baseball. I'm cackling. I get the name wrong. I'm like, yeah, I want more continuum.
I can edit all that out, though. Nobody will even know you got anything wrong.
No, it actually
unless
plays
I leave
into
it in
the joke because, you know, on there's a woman who was at a panel at in Vancouver, and she is now a bigwig in FX. At FX, and you know, as you well know, like FX, they love me over there. I can almost do no wrong because I really love most of their shows. Well, oh, what's that sound?
I don't know.
Oh boy, I have this sound coming through my. I'm not going crazy. You didn't hear that?
No.
Okay. Anyway, I'll restart this.
Okay.
Part. So, there's a woman who works at. Who works at FX, and she was in one of the panels that I was at, and she was one of the guest experts who was up there in Vancouver. And as you know, I can do no wrong at FX. I really love all their stuff, and she's now like a really big wig over there. And I jokingly was about to tell her that, and she said, "Wait, you're Tim Goodman?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "I've been told to kill you if I see you," and I was like, "Really? That's." Usually happens a lot, but go ahead. And she so it turns out that the one of the makers of one of their sitcoms. So now I won't even talk about them. And it's not Sunny because I love the Sunny guys. It's a new sitcom, and I will not propagate his anger onto the airwaves. But he was really mad, and I was like, you know,
mad at your review.
Yeah, he was mad at my review. And I was like, look, the first three or four episodes sucked. I'm sorry. Or the first two for sure. And they got mildly better on three and four. So anyway, we were having this discussion. And she had this look in her eye. And she's like, well, I know that you can be very, very vicious. And I'm like, not true. Not really true. Maybe a little bit true. And she's like, well, no. She goes, I know from experience. I'm like, what? Were you on the other side of the camera at some point? Turns out... she's married to the guy who does Dominion.
Oh.
And she said that the review was so vicious and so scathing that, like, it caused havoc. It was visceral pain to her husband. And I was like, really? I don't really remember that review. And she's like, oh, great. So he's reeling from this, and you don't really remember it. So this is where it gets even funnier. The guy who... does Continuum, who now I caught up on when I was up there and really liked it, and I like this guy a lot. He's like, let me look it up for you. Yep, here it is. Oh, right. Oh, ouch. That is bad. And yeah, I really hated the pilot of Dominion, and apparently I said so. So there's your connection back to Norway. Sorry.
So I like that you don't remember your review because I can quote from it a little bit here.
Oh, God.
Sci-fi's great. Latest drama, Dominion, may be one of the dumbest, worst acted, most poorly written series I've seen in ages. In no way should this encourage you to tune in hoping to rubberneck this bit of awfulness in hopes of creating some new kind of drinking game. Life's too short and you will choke on your own vomit and die alone. Don't be a hero. One of my actual notes from watching the pilot verbatim: this is unbearable. So I think you didn't like it.
Wow, that person does not sound nice.
You could be a little mean, and you're like, "What? I know.
I don't remember it. Yeah, that's. I remember it now.
It's got an Anthony Stewart head in it. I see now.
Yes, with an American accent, which I also eviscerated for them. You hire Anthony.
Don't hire English actors and make them speak
his accent.
No.
He has got the premier British accent. But no, you turn him into a Yank. That's bullshit.
That's no good.
Wow. Man, you know what? Erling in Norway is going to hate me. Not as much as this woman's husband hates me, whom it created Dominion. Because, man, that was some mean stuff, Tim Goodman.
Wow. That guy. I don't know. That guy. I hope that guy doesn't get a podcast because he sounds scary.
He sounds really not nice.
I like, I kind of like Continuum, although I really like the first year of it. That's the Rachel Nichols show, and I think we mentioned it before.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. The second year is not as good, and I'm watching the third season now, and it's better, it's weirder because it's all like time travel based. Oh, yeah. And they've done weird things with time travel. Mm-hmm. But when they settle it down, the fundamental concept of this cop from the future who's got like future technology and she's trying to catch bad guys in the present, mm-hmm. that's actually pretty great. It's just they kind of get bogged down sometimes in their own overarching story and it's not as good. And Rachel Nichols is a lot of fun to watch. So.
She is a lot of fun. I binged on that when I was up there.
And it's set in Vancouver. It's not one of these things where it's like, oh, we're in an evergreen forest. It could be anywhere, but it's right. Shot in Vancouver. It's like actually set in Vancouver.
And that kind of made was part of the nostalgia bit of being up there and watching it and stuff. And also they're good people who work on that. And we're fine with the fact that, I initially didn't even review it. He's like, no, trust me. After I've read the Dominion review, I'm pretty happy you didn't review my show.
Don't watch our show.
And I'm like, but no, I've seen your show. I did like it. Are you sure I didn't review it? He goes, oh, no, you didn't review it. I would have known. And then it turned out I was on vacation. And then I think the woman said, well, I wish my husband was on vacation. You were on vacation when my husband's show came out. But
wow. Ouch.
Yeah, I'm not fun at parties.
Erling, now there's your answer about what Tim thinks of Dominion. Now you know.
Hey, wow. I've lost the Norway fan base.
Yeah, I'm big in Norway and you are not.
I'm
not.
That's
what we've learned.
I really love their
wine. Hi, Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, this is a callback to a similar show that we talked about a few weeks ago, The 100. I've now watched a handful of episodes of The 100.
Ah, and what do you think?
You know, here's the giveaway, too, is they brand it as The 100, and if you've never watched the show, you call it The 100, and then they know that you have never seen the show, because it's The 100. That's what they call it. It's The 100. I like it. I think it's pretty good. I think it's mm-hmm. got... I don't want to give it an unqualified endorsement, having only seen like 3 hours of it. But yeah. I enjoy it, and there's some things I enjoy about it that it's because it subverts my expectations. Like, I never expected after they leave the spaceship at the beginning to see the spaceship again. And instead, like, nope, the Desmond from Lost, also with an American accent, which is totally wrong, and everybody else who's up there on the spaceship, they're still doing stuff up on the spaceship while the kids are down on the planet. And I think that's kind of cool that there's political intrigue above, and then the bear, like Lord of the Flies, and what's in the forest, and who are the radioactive mutants on this planet, kind of stuff happening on the surface. I didn't expect that. I thought that they would just be like, smell you later, spaceship, and go down on the planet, and that didn't happen.
Wait. So because it's CW, you thought there'd be like a smell you later reference.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that's just my little code. That's my Simpsons style code for like, hey, old people on the spaceship, I'm glad we got rid of them. Now we'll never see the old people again. And instead it's like, no, there are the like adults and some younger people up on the spaceship who are, you know, and their story is connected to what's happening down on the planet. I just thought that was kind of cool. So I'm liking it.
Excellent. It's all happening for CW right now.
My wife thinks something is wrong with me because she's like, is this another CW show that we're watching? I said, yeah, suddenly we're watching The Flash and Arrow and The 100 and Jane the Virgin. And like, I mean, next stop Supernatural, I guess.
Well, I guess, or revisiting Supernatural in its 18th season. Hey, I knew that I was onto something when I talked about the crossover episode. And we thought it would happen already. Because there was a thing in the pilot, et cetera, where they met together.
So, Felicity from Arrow came on like episode 4 of The Flash. But so they had the pilot, and then they had the teaser in Arrow last year. Then they had the pilot where Arrow appears briefly. Then Felicity appears briefly, and then this week we got the full on two shows, two nights, Buffy meets Angel crossover event with The Flash and Arrow.
And ratings wise, it did great.
This is the first time I've watched an episode of Arrow. I mean, it's out of sequence because I keep meaning to go back and watching them since the pilot. I mean, or the second episode or something. It got me to watch because The Flash was on it. And it totally, totally worked. I was totally sucked in.
Yeah, I did. I think they did a great job. And the ratings paid off for them. They're hitting on all cylinders now that they were, you know, I like to think of it as that I started sharing the love for them. And then, no.
Look at you.
It's all them. They did a great job with Jane the Virgin.
That actually leads us to our next question.
Oh, we didn't even plan that.
I know, but this is from Micah from the 425.
Nice.
Micah says numbered that way because it's twice as good as the 415.
Yeah, that's not funny. No. Okay, Micah, you want to throw down a little bit? Huh? Okay. No, just kidding.
We don't appreciate that. Micah from the 425 says, Tim, I normally find your TV recommendations very good. Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
However, I just don't get your love of Jane the Virgin. Although
what?
It's obviously slightly tongue-in-cheek, it also seems to want to be a straight telenovela soap opera, too, and from the couple of episodes I watched, not an especially novel or interesting one. Tell me, what am I missing? Why do you like this show so much? I don't get it. That's Micah from the 425.
Wow. Now, see, clearly I disagree with that completely, because I don't think it... A telenovela is its own thing entirely, and I think you can... if you're in with all, you know, if you're all in on the telenovela, then that's what you are, and you're playing this really, really broad dramatic game. I think in Jane, what they're doing is spoofing it, paying homage to it at the same time, getting laughs from it, getting drama from it, sort of reinventing it. It's a show within a show, characters within a show, and I think, but if you take that element out of it, that there is this meta aspect of it kind of being there, Jane's living her own telenovela, hint, hint, that's kind mm-hmm. of like the thing. If you take that little protective shield off it, I mean, it's a strong drama and a strong comedy at the same time. That's really hard to do. So, you know, I don't really think it's trying to be a telenovela. I think it's trying to, you know, intentionally impersonate one and make it a fresh thing of its own, because it's trying like three different things at the same time. So, you know, I look at it, to me, Jane the Virgin is kind of effortlessly a contortionist series that's, you know, making good on a lot of challenging ideas in the writer's room.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it feels to me, is that it's using like tropes of the telenovela and yet trying to tell something that's more of an emotionally real kind of story, you know, like almost like what if the telenovelas that they watched were real, how would they play out differently? And they're using the telenovela as a backdrop. I get how, you know, fundamentally the themes of the show are broad, right? She gets accidentally impregnated, and there's mm-hmm. the high profile murder, and there's the, you know, various coupling and uncoupling of the various characters romantically, and mm-hmm. all of that. I get how that's heightened, but I mean, that's what I like about it is not that it's heightened, but that the at a base level, the characters, especially Jane, feel real to me despite them being in these totally unreal circumstances, and I like that about it.
Absolutely.
And she's great. And you know, the guy, her dad, the guy who plays her dad, the star, I love that character so much, because he is sweet and yet totally clueless.
Yes.
He's got lots of women everywhere, and he's slept with so many women, and yet his you know, desire to be part of Jane's life feels completely real and innocent. He's almost innocent in his being a Lothario. He's like just kind of he's like one of those. There was that old Saturday Night Live sketch where everybody says something and then you hear what they think, mm-hmm. and then Joe Montana, this is how old it was, he just said, he thinks and says the exact same thing. That's that guy. He's just and I love that. That's a great character. So Micah, I don't know.
I'm spacing it now. The actor who plays that role, he's a really nice guy, and he's also in on it, right? You know, he's active on Twitter, and he gets his role, and he gets like on the show, and he gets like what he's supposed to do in the community, and he's a good guy. So I don't know. There's so much feel good buzz on that show that I wish that everybody would be involved. Certain M named person from a area code. Double, but perhaps not twice as good as my own. I don't know. I would, I think that, second chance, maybe. I don't know. Maybe look at it through different lenses. Hey, it's not Dominion.
It's it doesn't have to be for everyone, but, but it is good. We hope we explained at least a little bit about why we like it, Micah. I don't know.
I'm gonna laugh all day now that my Dominion story is out, and I called up and I was like, wait, it's not Dominion. And then I saw the Angel and Wings. I'm like, oh yeah, I hated that stupid story. I hated that stupid show.
Yeah,
Angel with Wings, fight me with your wings, stupid.
Turns out, Andy in the 03 here. The 03.
The 03.
Australian area code life is simpler. How about that? The 03. He says, about Lillehammer.
Oh, boy. Okay.
As a fan of Springsteen and The Sopranos, I really wanted to like it, but I couldn't. I didn't find it funny, just offensively chauvinist in the way the Jersey dude wades into the locals like they don't have a clue about how things should be done in the USA. I guess this was supposed to be funny, but it was just too relentless to work for me. To work as a fish out of water comedy, the fish needs to notice the lack of water. I guess it got better as it went along. Maybe I should have stuck with it, but I applied the rule of three. You got to see three episodes, as the pilot is usually special, and the next episode is where the characters get fleshed out. So episode three is when things start to flow. And he says it failed the rule of three in Lillehammer.
All right.
I didn't have a problem. I mean, I see what he's saying, but I just thought it was funny. I mean, that is sort of the point, is that he refuses to accept that anything other than the way he does things from the USA is the right way, and it only sort of, like, he only changes over gradually over time. It kind of erodes him from underneath. There's never a moment where he's like, oh yeah, I let me do what you guys do. He just, that's not the joke.
Right. That's not how he's going. Well, you know, that doesn't even. So I don't know. I guess I never really thought it. I didn't see it as a stereotypically offensive kind of thing. But I also just thought of it as very slight and fun.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that last time. It's just that, like, it's hard to generate much of an. I mean, I think it's inoffensive. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, do I want a third season or fourth season? Sure, whatever. Save it. It's really just bonus gravy on my TV watching if I get around to watching it.
Yeah,
so I never took that one super serious.
It just seems silly. I mean, it was a silly show, right? Even most of the premise of it was kind of ridiculous. So it was, you know, I think or some of us, maybe not Andy, forgive a lot just because, you know, I thought it was funny and strange.
Well, Andy's Australian. They never forget.
Well, I mean, also maybe being an American, those jokes work on us because it's poking fun at the American worldview. And if you're an Australian, you just look at it and you're like, stupid Americans.
He's probably in Australia saying, like, I can't relate at all to the snow.
Right.
And the American.
But if
I got no access. There's no entry point for me.
Right. But if it was like the drummer from Men at Work.
Oh, wow.
Going to
Norway.
That is
racist almost. Yeah, that is, oy.
If the drummer from Men at Work went and visited Erling in the 0484 of Norway, what would that show be? And would Andy
awesome.
Like that show?
Mm-hmm. That would be kind of like a Australian road show, guys in the sun meet guys in the snow, kind of a rock band touring thing. I'm throwing out ideas. Yes. The world needs better ideas. I'm just helping out.
I appreciate it.
I like that his code. I don't know area code, but it's mailing code or whatever. It's double. It's on two digits.
03. This is area code, yeah.
You know what? Life is easy in Australia, man. I just, like, everybody's beautiful there. Everybody's nice. Everybody's drinking beer.
Yeah, that's why
everybody's outdoors.
They couldn't make that show about an Australian. Really, it could only be an American, because an Australian, there would be no conflict. It would just be fine.
He'd be fine.
They'd find some sort of, you know, creature in the woods, and the Australian would, you know, kill it because it was not poisonous like a snake or something.
Yeah.
And
like,
everybody'd be like, oh, it's great. The Australians are here to help us. And that would be the end
of the
show.
Them. They'd love that accent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they would. Yeah.
I like how in Norway you have to have four digits on your mail code, and Australia's like, nah, two. Let's just take it easy. Let's make it easy.
No, Norway's so small that they have no area code, so you have to use a postal code. Australia is big enough that they have like four area codes or something. So. Yeah, Erling sent us a postcode because there are no area codes. Andy sent us an area code, but it was
an area code. I was thinking it was also a thing, yeah. I need to go over there, clearly.
Yes. Check out the 03.
The Aussies are a tough bunch, though. They're a rugged bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Even their women are rugged. Their women beat the shit out of most Americans, right? I think that's what it is. That's I'm a little worried about those guys.
I don't know. I'm afraid to go over there and find out.
I know, right? I've had some Australian friends over here, and then they're just tough.
Yeah. Okay,
a lot of barefoot.
We've
stuff,
angered Australia. Technically, there's a
we didn't anger them.
There's a dialing code, so we could say Andy's also in the +61 03.
Oh, he's in the +61
because Australia is the, you know, +61 61 to get to Australia, and then you dial 03, and then you dial Andy's number, whatever it is.
Well, hey, look, for the record about Australia, I love it. I love them. I love the people. The only time I don't like Australia is when I'm watching Flight of the Conchords, and I have to root against them actively.
Yes, because New Zealand.
Yes.
Exactly. Alan in the 415.
Woohoo! He said, go to record.
He says the real 415, not Marin. Thanks, Alan.
Oh.
Burn. Ooh.
Ooh, sick burn.
Yeah, that was tough. Uh-huh. He said, I certainly share your gut reaction when a network in the U.S. remakes a foreign show, that it represents an exercise in a calculated, you know, risk reduction by the network and creative bankruptcy of the industry. And yet, we shouldn't forget that this approach has led to some very successful shows. Some would even say very socially important shows, such as All in the Family and Sanford and Son.
Right.
Plus some shows that were merely successful, like Iron Chef America, The Office, Survivor, Big Brother, House of Cards, and I'm sure you two experts, and he didn't even put sarcastic quotes around that, can think of many more examples than I can recall. So I try to remain appropriately skeptical yet open-minded when shows are remade. Alan in the 415.
Oh, Alan, you had me till you said Big Brother. Not okay, man. It's
yeah,
not okay.
Well, it's on. It's still being shown.
It's a plague.
That's true.
By the way, today they announced, because we...
Breaking news.
Yeah. Today they announced the end of Two and a Half Men.
Wow.
Yeah. It's ending. Whew. Our long national nightmare is over. People were expecting me to really get on the bandwagon and stab it like I did Dominion. But you know what I thought? No. They won.
They did.
Two and a Half Men won.
They had so much momentum that they could replace one of the leads and it didn't matter.
No one even cared. People laughed at those crappy jokes for what was it on for 6 decades? This is what it felt like.
About.
It beat the critics. It won. I'm not going to rejoice that it's leaving now. You don't rejoice when you've been thoroughly beaten.
Like, yeah, you're down 54-3 in a football game.
Right.
And you get to the end of the game and they fire the gun off and say the game is over and you don't do like a celebration dance because it's over because you lost.
No, it was a dark day for American
television. 12 seasons.
Brutal. 12 seasons of stupidity.
That's like 1,000 episodes.
Ah, God.
Terrible.
I just thinking about it, I feel like the inside of my body is like rotting away. It's like a zombie inside of me. It's like zombie vomit inside of me.
Wow.
Yeah, really disturbing.
You know, according to Jim, only lasted 8 seasons.
Wow. Why do you lash out? What do you want to hurt? Why is there so much anger in you? Why are you bringing these shows up?
It's because Alan said my area code isn't part of the real 415. What it was.
You know what it is? If everybody would just stop poking everybody, right? Everybody's mad. I think what happened was I killed Dominion.
Yeah.
And then this podcast got negative.
The hate, you know, poured over a little bit.
Yes.
I think my theory about about international imports in the U.S. is you gotta have a unique spin, the U.S. like spin on it. You get some really creative American producers in and say, what would we do based on this kind of premise? So All in the Family is All in the Family. It's not exactly like the British show. Sanford and Son is not like the British show. It has the whole extra layer that Red Fox and the producers brought to it. Red Fox's real last name, did you know? Sanford.
Really?
Yeah. I had no idea.
That is interesting.
Yeah, he was John Elroy Sanford. So Sanford and Son, named after Red Fox. I think that's crazy. Also, here's another Fox fact for you.
You've got a lot of obscure.
I was on Wikipedia for a long time on Thanksgiving.
I watched that show when I was a kid.
I watched that show too. So Red Fox took his stage name from Jimmy Fox, the baseball star, and then Jamie Fox, the actor, took his name from Red Fox. So whole like multi generations of fake names coming from baseball player Jimmy Fox. Two X's.
Wow.
You can't dispute the two X's. So I think you put your own spin on it, and I think maybe it has a better chance of succeeding. I think The Office worked better once they got out from under the shadow of those UK Office episodes, and they didn't try to remake the UK Office and just sort of take the base premise and go a different direction with it. And then, I don't know, reality is, I think, a different kind of story.
That's a different way. You can tweak that in a different way. I mean, it's all the narrative stuff. When you have fiction, when you're doing fiction, whether it's comedy or drama, it's completely different. I just don't like the idea that we're gonna do loofah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, even if it's Neil Cross who did Luther, it's still hard to believe that that's going to work. Well, you know, they tried to remake Coupling, which I really like, Stephen Moffat's UK sitcom, and they made a US mm-hmm. version of it, and they used his scripts. So they're the same scripts. Well, it was a failure, and one of the reasons it was a failure is, I think, that they used the UK scripts as good as they were because they weren't doing anything new. They were literally just reshooting mm-hmm. somebody else's TV show. And
well, that's what they did for the pilot, I think maybe in the second episode, but definitely the pilot
of The Office.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, verbatim.
Yeah, so. And that was a mistake.
Ugh,
I got over it. Mm-hmm. All right, I got we got a lightning round. We got some Twitter
okay.
questions.
Lightning
for you.
Round.
The lightning round.
You're good. You're
this,
so
this
good.
Means we end up. It goes on forever because lightning. I say lightning round, and then it's all slow because that's how podcasts work. This is from Craig in the 267.
Nice, Craig. Good work. 267.
What's on your radar for mid-season replacements? I'm looking forward to Agent Carter, Gallivant, and The Librarians. He made that up. There's no show called The Librarians,
yes,
is there?
There is. Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's coming out. Look, I looked it up. What'd you say? 267.
That's Philly. That's Philly. We had him on last time, I think.
City of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And the northern and eastern municipalities of Bucks and Montgomery counties in the Commonwealth mm-hmm. of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, my grandma lived in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I would go visit her when I was growing up. So, yeah, shout out to Philly.
And Bucks County.
So what do you think?
I'm going to share now my theory of midseason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is I stand by this because it has held up through years and years of practice. And everybody else who rushes ahead of me, it's like rushing into fire. So what I do for midseason is I do not watch the midseason shows because you just don't know what's seriously. I do not watch them in
just
the fall because
because they'll take them apart and put them back together again by the time they air, right?
Oh, and not only that, the running joke is frequently, not only will they take them apart and put them back together, frequently they will just not air. Some of them just never get on the air.
Mm.
So in my, in my ongoing diatribe about time being so precious, I don't do it until it's coming up. I literally do not partake in the, hey, let me watch this 17 weeks in advance, and then I'm going to have a little opinion on Twitter right there about it, and then I'm going to wait, and then I'm going to jump out in the midseason. I don't know. I don't want to be cynical, but like I come across my desk when it's ready to run. If you have no more tweaks to go, then I'm going to stick it in. I'm going to review it then. So that's kind of my theory of it. I never really jump ahead. So I don't have a lot of futuristic opinions. How about that?
You anything you're looking mm-hmm. forward to? I'm looking forward to Agent Carter only because I like that character in the Captain America movie. And I like the little short they did with her. I think the actress is really interesting. And I'm also very happy that ABC is no longer promoting it as sometimes the right man for the job is a woman.
Oh, my God. They finally got that off the air. People were eviscerating.
How did that get on? But I am looking forward to that show. I think that could be a lot of fun. And I like that it's a short run, intended as a short run kind of thing. I think that's fun.
Yeah, some people don't notice that the creative side does not do promos. So that's done on the advertising side. And it's often done, almost always done, without the knowledge of the people who run the show. So there was the Agent Carter people that had no input on that.
Oh, so The Librarians is a sequel to those Noah Wiley things?
Yeah, the Noah Wiley movies. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. There's just more librarians now.
They're just, I guess so. That's actually coming out pretty soon. I'll tell you what I have seen. I won't go into it in depth, but I did watch Marco Polo, which is coming out soon. I guess we can write about that soon. One thing we didn't talk about was a series that's coming out tonight as we record this, if it goes up on December 5th. Mm. December 5th and December 6th. And it doesn't even really matter when you listen to this because you shouldn't be watching this show anyway. See?
Oh, that's good. How it goes. We're saving you.
Don't watch it.
Don't listen. Don't watch it if you're hearing this on time.
If you're hearing this, don't write the show's name down.
Yeah.
Okay? How many times am I going to tell you? You're not going to watch it. Don't even write it down. You know what? I'm not going to tell you.
We're going to mention it, but it won't be in the show notes. Don't look in the show notes.
No,
it won't be in
not
there
at all. It's called One Child. and it's on Sundance TV. So you think, oh, highbrow, this is going to be really good. These are the people who brought us The Honorable Woman, one of Tim's favorite shows this year. Dreadful. Not good. I also watched Ascension. Hello, sci-fi nuts. I know you're going to want to talk about that later. Maybe next week, huh?
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
What? You're pulling my leg, right?
No, I have no idea.
Did I just walk right into this?
No, what is Ascension? It's another Canadian show. Okay, I'm looking it up now.
It's going to be on
Sci-Fi. Oh, this is the one with with Trisha Helfer from Battlestar Galactica. It's the spaceship from the 60s.
Yeah, you know how you can break the internet? Trisha Helfer's naked in this.
Holy, well, that's the end. Forget Kim Kardashian. Yeah. Trisha Helfer. You know,
yeah. It's a
and she she was great in Battlestar Galactica. She was
loved her.
She got better as you know, you look at her and you're like, well, she got cast. She was a model. They got cast her because she's a model. She's beautiful. And then over the course of that series, you're like, oh my God, she is such a good actress. It's crazy.
Yeah. She did a great job.
Yeah.
And she did.
So that's debuting on the 15th of December.
Yeah, we'll revisit it.
Yeah.
I will preview this by saying, I was watching this, so I've watched, it's 3 hours over 3 nights, and I believe it's going to be turned into a series, right? It's like a backdoor movie pilot. If the ratings are good, they'll turn into
Yeah, they ordered, sort of like the first Battlestar Galactica, they ordered like 6 hours of show, and they're going to run it over 3 consecutive nights, and then they'll see whether they want to bring it back. So it's very much like Battlestar Galactica, which debuted as a miniseries.
Yeah, and we'll hold off on the review, but I will say this. I was stunned. I was like, wait, I kept thinking like it's sci-fi, right? I kept checking the box and everything. And I'm like, because there is so much, I mean, they may cut it. There's so much nudity. It's kind of stunning. I mean, there's a lot of nudity in Marco Polo, but it's Netflix, so of course. But then I realized what they were doing in, I don't want to be offensive to anybody, but if you're listening to this show, then you cannot possibly be offended. there's a lot of ass in Ascension. I think they should add one more S.
Oh, my.
Yes. I'll be here all week.
Everybody. All right.
Ascension.
Ascension. Got it.
I was like, okay, wait, that's like the sixth naked ass on this show. But, you know, Trisha Helfer is one of them.
Okay.
And you know, more than once, I think she's nude like 3 times on the backside. So Ascension is coming out. Oh, my God. How can I not put that in print now?
All right.
That's totally going in print. So I tried it out here on the podcast, and you'll read it on TV.
We workshopped it.
We workshopped it. Woodshed it.
I think it works.
All right. Well, more on that later.
All right,
that's
Ascension.
A sci-fi show I can't believe I beat you to.
Yeah. I knew that was coming out. I didn't realize that was coming out so soon. That's exciting.
That's coming up soon. But that's kind of a mid-season show. That's the only one that I've actually got ahead on. So.
All right. Librarians.
that's coming up too. Wait, isn't that like this weekend or something? No.
I don't know.
It's soon.
Agent Carter is in January. I'm looking forward to that.
I got to watch one on Sunday. Yeah, I remember what it was.
All right. I got a really good one here. This is from, this was the next to last one, I guess.
Okay.
We have 2 questions. We have one from our good friend, My Vogue on Poetry, who has now come out of the closet. He is Carl from the 716.
Nice, Carl. Where is 716?
You don't know? So he said while typing it up.
I know,
Buffalo. Hello, Buffalo.
Circle the wagons. Nice.
So Carl
from, really cold over
there. My God, he's in the lake effect. He's just watching TV because there's nothing else he can do. He can't
go
outside.
My God, you know what it is? It's my frozen poetry.
Yeah,
it's just completely snow blind.
Yeah,
total
exactly.
Bite out.
So, and we also got this from listener Brando, who did not give a. An area code.
Brando.
Oh, no, he did. He did Brando from the 301. Good.
Whew. Nice.
Dodged a bullet there.
I would say, otherwise, we'd just say he lives down on the waterfront.
Yeah, in a van down by
the
river. Maryland and D.C. for listener Brando from the 301.
You know, we've gone international and we've gone way East Coast this time. This is nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we're listening, Hawaii. Send us your questions.
I love Hawaii. Latin America.
So anyway, Carl and Brando both wanted to know about holiday TV episodes. Do you have any favorites? Is it a good idea to do holiday episodes of TV shows? Because it is. Everybody's going to unload either their mid-season finales, which is a thing now, apparently, or... I knew you'd love that. Or they'll do they'll card out their holiday episode next week. This is the week when that will happen.
Yes. My feeling is it can't hurt. I mean, I was against it for a long time. I was like, okay, these are filler episodes. They don't, you know, in a comedy, they don't repeat well because, you know, they'll pop up invariably sometime not in December. And you're like, oh, right, that's the Friends, that's
Thanksgiving episode.
That's not so, I don't want to watch that. So those don't work. But then again, we wouldn't have had Festivus from Seinfeld if we didn't write something like that. So
I love the two Thanksgiving episodes of The West Wing. I think those are both really good.
Yes, that's actually, you know what? That's smart of you. That is very good. I don't mind them, actually. I think that, big secret here. I'm not a big fan of Halloween, so I don't dress up that much, but unless I do Wilfred. But I'm a huge Christmas fan, and I don't know about Thanksgiving, I guess, is fun. But what you're just basically, it's about your families getting together. I don't know. That doesn't work for me thematically, but Christmas is kind of one where you can kind of riff on it a little bit. I'm okay with it. I think it's partly because I know that they're never going to end.
Yeah.
They're never going to end. You can't beat that trend.
You can't stop it. No, but they're good ones. They're always classics. WKRP Thanksgiving episode, classic, right?
Genius, right?
There's always some classics in there. You mentioned the Festivus episode of Seinfeld. So you take the good with the bad, right? There's every now and then you're going to get a holiday classic. You're going to want to put it in the vault. You're going to want to say, like, run that in the best of marathon on Christmas.
Well, it's
Eve.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia Christmas episodes. I mean, just all the stuff is great. Amazing.
So I think what we're saying is there are going to be, like with all TV, there'll be good ones, there'll be bad ones. You know, I don't think you can, I mean, they're not going to put that tradition away, so there's nothing we can do about it. But it, like anything else, there'll be good ones, there'll be bad ones. It's fun when there's a good one, because then you can be like, I'll watch that every so often on the holiday because it's fun. I did that a couple when I was making stuff in the kitchen, not this Thanksgiving, but last Thanksgiving. I had my iPad on the counter and I had it running the one of those West Wing episodes, and it was a lot of fun to revisit that really good, snappy, early, you know, high functioning Aaron Sorkin era.
High functioning, yes. Yeah. Those are all great. And I, you know, as a fan of Christmas movies, I've always thought, you can't do a modern one. All the great ones are classics, but you know, Christmas Story was a relatively modern thing, and it's one of the greatest Christmas movies ever. Yeah. So, you know, you can't rule it out. Somebody's going to pen something, and somebody's going to act the heck out of it, and it's going to be amazing and funny, like Festivus or whatever. So, yeah, I'm for it.
All right, one more.
Yes,
here it is. It's for Jake from the 714 again, returning.
Oh, yeah. Returning back,
classic,
right?
Classic mm-hmm. LA area.
Mm-hmm. Or Anaheim.
Yeah. It's around. I think they split it off. I think it's mostly in the upper part of the LA region.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think,
yeah,
the OC got
I lashed out. I
truncated.
Have a 714 area code, so I'm fine with that. I'm okay.
So here's his question, and this is breaking news, to breaking news, which is, how common is it for shows to come back after something like this happens? And he sent us a link to the fact that NBC has said, hey, Constantine, your ratings are okay. We ordered 13 episodes. I know you want us to pick you up for more, but we're not going to. We only want the 13, and then we might talk to you next year, or we might not.
Rare. Very rare.
Yeah.
I mean, out of sight, out of mind. Look, people don't watch shows that are actually being promoted every single week on television. So if you're not being promoted, which it won't be, and I think that one actually hasn't been for a long time, once you get pulled out of it, it's just too easy to forget.
I just wonder if they're doing a Sleepy Hollow thing where they're like, you know, we can bring the show back and not buy 22 episodes, just save some money, run it, you know, if we want to run it again, we'll run another 13 and then be done. Because I know that's what Fox did with Sleepy Hollow, but that was always the plan with Sleepy Hollow, I think. And Constantine was, I think, not the plan. And they just said, this is it. It does seem like a bad sign, because usually the network's reaction to a success is give us more.
Well, yeah. Look, we talked before that show was cursed from the beginning. The whole pilot was – they should have just shit-canned the whole pilot, but they didn't. And then they showed it. And they're like, again, with the typical, like, everything you saw, you invested in this hour, forget it. We're changing it next week. You know, you're just going to lose audience that way. Yeah. You're just – so I don't see – I would be very surprised.
Yeah. It's not impossible. There are some shows now these days that get the 13 and then they don't pick up the back nine. But this doesn't sound like that. This sounds a little more like regret.
It is. And also, you know what? There is the ones that do come back. There's always still something a little skeezy about it, like that no one ends up – well, no one in the mainstream ends up – finding out about. But it's like a producer deal. It's like, you know what? I'll tell you what. My company and blah, 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 we'll do this other one if you pick this back up. Right. So usually it's some kind of favor. And it doesn't last very long because look, the people have spoken. The audience is always right because that's the final one. They can't be wrong. You know, that's it. They can be wrong on quality, but not on success. And right now they said, nope, I'm not watching it. It's no ascension.
Well done.
So that made my day. That made, for me personally, that's my own humorous moment that, yes.
So watch for that. Watch for that joke in the Hollywood Reporter, folks.
Oh, it's definitely coming. It's just I can't even imagine not putting that in.
I'm looking forward to it.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're about at the end of our hour, but we're going to have to come back maybe next week, maybe the week after, and talk about these the end of the year and some best of business, because I know that's the plague that all TV critics have to deal with at the end of the year is best of lists. I assume
yes.
You have to do that too.
I am swarmed under it, and my only hint will be that I've never done a top 10 list for my own purposes, and certainly not in the quote unquote modern era. I always fight, and believe me, it takes a lot to do that for much more, because it's stupid to be held to some ridiculous notion of 10 being the only number we can talk about. Television is so much. Television's going on, and there's so much great television that you can't limit it to 10. That does a disservice to the medium. So my lists are always much, much longer, and I break them into comedy and drama. I don't like them to compete against each other, and I'll probably have some subcategories, so we'll have lots to talk about, no doubt about it.
That's great. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing where Dominion appears on your list.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was just a that guy's not nice. Whoever wrote that, he is not.
He's
is
a mean, mean man. Mean man.
Who would have guessed? Oh, I don't know who that is. He's a monster. That guy.
Well, TV critics, what you gonna do?
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Ascension.
Thank you. And on that note, we will thank everybody for listening to another TV Talk Machine. You can reach us. Tim is Bastard Machine on Twitter. I'm Jay Snell on Twitter. You can tweet to both of us. We monitor the goings-on around the @TVTM Twitter account. That's a great place to send feedback. You can go to the TV Talk Machine page on Facebook. And you can also email us at podcast@TVTalkMachine.com. That's how you get a hold of us. Tim, it's been a pleasure.
As always, Jason, and I promise that I will not add porn titles to any more existing shows next time we talk.
Well, maybe we should just make this a weekly, we'll see.
We could.
It could be a weekly bit. And thanks to everybody out there for listening. We will see you next week.